This is an ABC podcast.
Happy end of the week. Welcome to the Shake Up, and we're coming to you from beautiful Queensland. We're in Meanjin, Brisbane, the ancient lands of the Turrbal Jagera Yagera people. I'm Dave Marchese, and yeah, Hack's election road trips kicked on to the Sunshine State this week, and we got to see how big, diverse, beautiful this part of Australia is. Also, how wild politics here can be.
Hack. No, we kissed and made up on that trip that we did through Queensland.
Oh! Stir up the stupid people in the cities of Australia who think that bananas come out of packets.
They should just go and buy a house.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we've been in Mount Isa, now we're in Brisbane talking about the issues that matter to you this election and some other stuff that's popped off this week. And hey, the best thing about being in Queensland is I get to meet up with some of the best in Queensland media in person. First, someone who knows this state better than anyone else, the Queensland reporter at The Guardian, Eden Gillespie. G'day.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good. What's the plans for the weekend?
Just chilling, really.
Yeah.
Unwinding after a big week.
You're pretty happy it's Friday?
Stoked.
I bet. And someone who you're going to be really, really familiar with, and I'm really excited about this, a lifetime member of the Hack and the Triple J family, is now the boss of a radio station. Stephen Stockwell, what's your job now?
I am the boss of 4ZZZ Radio in Brisbane, which is a delight. I'm also hosting a podcast, Doom Scroll Remedy, as well.
Oh, whoa. We love a good plug. Oh. And hey, it's so good to have you back. We've missed you on Hack.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me back.
Nah, and you know, this is your patch, so you're going to be able to fill us in on all the good stuff about Queensland. And I also want to know from you if you're listening as well, especially if you are in Queensland. But even if you're not, call in. You can message in too, 0439 757 555. Okay, guys, you ready to go? Let's do it.
Hack's election road trip.
We don't like it when Southerners come up here and tell us how to live our lives.
On Triple J.
It's true. Southerners wouldn't want to be one. As we approach crunch time in this election campaign, the crazy guesses and projections about what might happen are going into overdrive. Labor honing in on states it needs to win over, WA, of course, but also Queensland. But experts reckon while the coalition has lost support in parts of the country, Labor is still battling to win over many Queenslanders. So the pollies on both sides have got their work cut out for them.
Hack's election road trip.
Do you think people up here think differently to other parts of the country?
I have a point of view, which is Australian, and I would think there would be very few people in that parliament who I would describe as Australians.
And the issues that were coming up were just completely different to the issues that I was hearing somewhere like Wentworth amongst voters.
We're getting ready. Should the LNP be elected here soon, which is a decision for Queenslanders, of course.
Focused on their local communities, very focused on their families, very focused on jobs.
I'm not looking to pick fights with anyone in Queensland. I just want to get things done. Then I can tell you what, it's going to really change things up here in Queensland because we're going to be able to get moving.
When you move outside of an electorate like Brisbane to the outer suburbs, there's a little bit less venom towards him, and there's certainly, I think, a bit more receptiveness to, you know, voting for the coalition again.
I mean, the Prime Minister came to Queensland, spent a week here effectively telling Queenslanders how to suck eggs, and they didn't like it. We don't like it when Southerners come up here and tell us how to live our lives.
On Triple J.
Yeah, what does all this mean? Are you from Queensland? Do you back our federal leaders, Scott Morrison, Anthony Albanese, or do you think they just don't get what's important to Queenslanders? Keen to hear from you? Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in as well, 0439 757 555. Harry sent in a message. He says, Hack's finally in Brisbane. Can't wait for this. Hey, Harry, I'm stoked as well. We've also got two great guests joining us on the Shake Up panel today. We've got the Queensland reporter at Guardian Australia, Eden Gillespie, and the manager of 4ZZZ Radio and Hack's former Queensland reporter, Stephen Stockwell. And Stocky, someone's texted in Reese and says, "Hey, Stocky!" So got a bit of love on the text line. We love it. Eden, I'm going to start with you on this one. We're talking about Queensland politics. You're out and about. You speak to people. What's it looking like here in Queensland for Labor and the Coalition? Are they both at risk of losing some ground, do you think?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I guess it depends where you go. Over the weekend, I was in Griffith, watching some door knocking going on. Yep. And definitely there, it seems like there's a really tight contest between the Greens and Labor. People were expressing that they were fed up with the major parties, that they've just kind of zoned out of politics in general, I suppose. So I think, yeah, that's a fair statement in parts of Queensland. People are tired of it. People want to see politics that improve their own daily lives.
And that's the thing about Queensland is it's so big, right, that, you know, different parts of the state are going to think very differently. Stocky, how do you think things are looking at this point in the election campaign?
I think it's really interesting. I think it's really hard to tell. You've still got a couple of weeks to go, so it's going to change a bit over that time. But, like, it is big, so it's very hard to say, look, what's happening in Mount Isa is the same thing that's happening in Brisbane, because they're literally worlds apart. It's, you know, it's further than Brisbane to Melbourne. So you can't compare that kind of stuff. I do think that, again, like we were hearing in that audio before, like the feeling in the inner city of Brisbane is the feeling in the inner city in most capital cities, which is probably leaning more towards the left. You get it into the suburbs where people are buying houses. That is leaning more conservatively. And then again, in the regions, it's a totally different kettle of fish. So I don't think you can underestimate in Queensland the fact that it's a one newspaper town. Like, there's Courier Mails and, like, basically News Corp stuff all through the state. Mm. And that leans conservative in most senses, certainly from, like, an editorial point, like, not from a news point of view, but certainly sort of the editorial comments through that, that's where that's going. And that bleeds through. So, yeah, sure, young people aren't reading those papers, but their parents are reading those papers, and that's bleeding through to them. So that's how that filters down, I think.
Yeah, really interesting. Well, let's hear from another Queenslander. We've got Callum on the line. Callum, what are your thoughts about the election so far, election campaign?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you all?
Yeah, we're good. What's going on, Callum?
Look, I've just, I don't think there's much of a difference across Australia. I think we're all in the same issues, and that is, there's a big, I keep hearing about the environment, and everywhere you go, the environment seems to be suffering, and we're about to have another flood in Brisbane. But there's a lot of great people out there in the startup community that are just dying to get a bit of funding to make a difference, and we're one of them. We've got a revolutionary tidal energy machine that's just been proven to be far better than solar and wind, and I can't get a grant from the government for ringing everybody. I can't get any money to help us.
Okay.
You know, and we could be, we're talking coal and coal jobs and stuff, and in reality, we've got some high-grade coal, and if people are going to, if other countries are going to buy lower-grade coal, which is more polluting, you know, I'm an environmental realist, I think we should be selling a little bit of our high-grade coal and then trying to get onto renewables as fast as possible.
You've got a lot of plans, Callum. I reckon you could be running in this election if you wanted to. But thank you for calling in. It's interesting what you say there, that you think everyone pretty much has the same kinds of issues. Do you think that's true? Like, Eden, for young people, what do you think the big issues are in Queensland? Like, we were in Mount Isa this week, Hack, and we heard about huge problems with healthcare, which is obviously very specific to remoter parts of the country, but cost of living, which has been huge there for many years, but is now hitting a lot of young people across the country.
Yeah, definitely. I think there is a lot of universal issues that Queenslanders are grappling with as people are grappling within New South Wales and other states. Petrol prices going up, grocery prices going up, people are not seeing their wages go up, people are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, people are concerned about climate change. There are a lot of issues that I think are really central to Queensland that are also central to all of Australia. So, yeah, there's definitely some truth in that.
We've got some messages coming through on the text line. Anna says, North Queensland's completely different. It's frustrating when the media refers to Brisbane and southeast Queensland as Queensland. Never mind the rest of us. We also don't get the same funding. Someone else says, I vote for Darth Vader every time. So that's an interesting point. We haven't even considered Darth in this whole kind of election, you know, projections that we're doing here at Hack. I want to know, there's a poll out today published in Nine newspapers that shows voters are turning against the coalition in the three biggest states, Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, biggest by population, not by size, don't worry, guys. But it also shows that Labor is not really making much ground in Queensland either. Stocky, why do you reckon that is?
I think it comes a bit back to that, like, one newspaper state. So you've got the, you know, nine newspapers. They've got decent strongholds in Sydney and Melbourne. And so that makes a difference as well in the kind of coverage and the stuff that they're hearing. Also, the stuff that Eden was saying before as well, like the challenge to Labor in Brisbane especially is the Greens. That's not to be underestimated at all. So the work that Max is doing in Griffith is huge. The stuff that happens in South Brisbane is also really big as well. So these central seats, Labor's kind of copping it from both sides, really, and it makes their life pretty hard.
What do you reckon of this old debate that's out there about Queensland should be cut in two? And we heard before from Anna about how, you know, parts of far North Queensland, North Queensland are different to Southeast Queensland. I don't know, Eden. They are very different areas. I'm not asking if you think it should be cut in two, but do you think that, is that what you hear a lot, that there are people in different parts of the state that think they're not heard of by either side?
I think there is an element of that, sure, but I feel that often Queensland is represented by other states and by the media as being, you know, obsessed with coal, having very extreme conservative views, and I just feel that it's not the case in all of far north Queensland. I think it'd be ridiculous to say, you know. I feel that we need to be nuanced when we talk about Queensland.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts on that.
And Stocky, I mean, you've travelled all across this state. A lot of it you did for Hack, talking to a lot of people, a lot of different communities. Does it seem like two different states when you compare north to south?
Yeah, but it also seems like two different states from east to west.
Yeah.
So, like, the experience you get in Cairns is so different to the experience you get in Mount Isa. Like, and that's the thing that's really hard to get your head around a lot of the times. So, yeah, the southeast corner's got all the population and all the people and a lot of the economy. So splitting it in half's pretty hard work. But also splitting it in half across a line in the middle, like, you're still going to have that environmental divide, which is really strong in Cairns, and you're going to have a really pro-mining, pro-mining voices further inland where that's a huge part of the economy. So there's those divides in all sorts of places across all sorts of lines. It's just big. Australia's a big country. Similar experience in WA as well, the north to south thing too.
Yeah, and it was interesting when we were in WA last week, the people we talked to said that in the west, people are so much closer to their premier than their prime minister, and they consider their premier kind of like their prime minister, probably because Canberra's so far away, right? It's not like when you're in New South Wales and, you know, Canberra seems so much closer. Is it the same in Queensland, do you think, Eden? Do people have that much stronger attachment to the state government?
It's hard to say. I mean, I guess the state government here obviously has an enormous amount of support, the Labor state government, which differs greatly, I guess, when you compare it to federal Labor.
It's a weird spelling, so that's fine.
Struggling to get my words out. I think that, you know, Anastasia Palaszczuk is extremely popular in Queensland, and you see that whenever she gives a speech, she's got an enormous amount of supporters. You know, I went to Labor Day parade on earlier this week, and I know that, you know, obviously that is a union crowd. She is among friends there, but it's almost like she's a celebrity with that group of people. And when she's marching along the streets and people are yelling out to her, I do feel like there is an enormous amount of popularity with the state government.
Some texts on the text line coming through. The PM was so hostile to the Queensland Premier during the lockdowns. We remember that, says somebody. Ryan says, funny, I was just about to tell all Queensland pollies and some of their residents I'm tired of them telling everyone else how to suck eggs. Okay, that's a, you know, real heavy one from Ryan. And somebody else saying, don't discount the massive influx of southerners to Queensland in the last 2 years. Mm. I'm one of these, and I'm campaigning amongst my friends and colleagues for Labor. Right, guys, we're going to stick with Queensland, but moving on slightly.
Hack. The worst thing I ever copped was Pauline had attacked me, and then she said she loves me, and that was real bad for her.
On Triple J.
The people outside of Queensland, when someone asks you to name a Queensland politician, who springs to mind? Bob Catter, Clive Palmer, Pauline Hanson? I don't know, they're big names, not just here, but across the country. They've been called mavericks. So why do we see so many of them come from this part of the country?
Hack. To stir up the stupid people in the cities of Australia who think that bananas come out of packets.
I lost my cool. I really was extremely angry.
Clive Palmer, Bob Catter, Pauline Hanson and Campbell Newman say they are fighting for the votes of those Australians who want government to stay out of their lives.
No one's telling you what's really happening, so that's a crisis. I don't want to see, it's not just losing your home or your wealth.
Oh, it sounds good. You cannot legislate that in the parliament.
Well, of course you can. Of course you can.
You can't.
This election is too important for us to be fighting each other.
The worst thing I ever copped was Pauline had attacked me, and then she said she loves me, and that was real bad for her.
No, we kissed and made up on that trip that we did through Queensland.
Love, love me do.
On Triple J.
You know
Look, probably keen never to hear Bob Catter sing the Beatles to me again. And is anyone else not wanting to imagine Pauline Hanson and Bob Catter kissing? I don't know. Look, I'm keen to hear what you think about this. Do you plan on voting for these politicians? And why, if so, what draws you to them? Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in as well, 0439 757 555. With me to break it down, an expert shake-up panel, Guardian Australia's Eden Gillespie and Stephen Stockwell from 4ZZZ. Hey, when we talk about a maverick, it's defined as someone who bucks the system, they go against the grain. Eden, I don't know, why does this type of politician hit so hard with some Queenslanders, do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting question. And I think it's going to be interesting, particularly with pandemic politics too, to interrogate that. You know, I think that there is a sense among people I've spoken with that these politicians stand up for Queenslanders. And we know that Labor's post-29 election review found that the party needed to find a way to reconnect with Queenslanders. I feel like Queenslanders I've spoken to often feel left out a little bit. They don't feel like their voices are heard. They don't feel, like I said before, their lives are improving. And when you do have politicians taking really strong stances and promising that their lives will improve and that they're going to fight for them, I think that that is really attractive.
We've got some messages coming through on this on the text line. Somebody says, you don't have to be a Catter fan to agree that few in Parliament truly represent Australia. That was Reese there. Another person says, us Queenslanders are so sick of the Prime Minister of New South Wales and his party's New South Wales-centric attention. And another person says, what's wrong with having a diverse state? Stocky, do these kinds of politicians only appeal to older people? Or, I mean, we've seen huge crowds of younger people as well, at like big demonstrations that are, you know, attended by these maverick politicians.
No, I don't. I think it's something that has a catch across all demographics. So I don't think it's an old, I don't think it's a young thing. I think if you're going to draw a line anywhere, you see in metro centres, so Brisbane, Gold Coast, you see less of that. You see more mainstream politics. And in regional areas, which realistically don't get looked after very well by governments at all, usually safe seats, seats that they don't need to pay much attention to, getting neglected. And so the places these people do well are in places where people have no faith in politicians improving their lives, basically. And so that's what resonates. They go, you know what? These people who've been electing for 20, 30 years, what have they done to change this for you? I'm going to come in, I'm going to make a difference. Whether they do make a difference is, you know, up to people to judge if they're elected. But that's where that grab's coming from. That's what resonates with people, because there's people across the state, across the country as well, places that get neglected by government, that don't get the services they deserve, don't get looked after the way they deserve, that really just sort of lean towards this like quite populist politics that says they're going to make their lives better.
We don't really see these kinds of politicians coming from capital cities though, do we? Like it's generally usually regional areas, and usually they get a bit of a leg up from mainstream parties and then they'll split and go their own way. Eden, you know, like what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that, you know, it's just a phenomenon that we see in remoter areas?
Yeah, it is interesting. It does seem to be the case. I think there is a question as to why that definitely deserves some interrogation. I'm just wondering if it is people, you know, feeling that they are unheard, and, you know, you're hearing people commenting in saying that, you know, Scott Morrison, they feel that he's the Prime Minister of New South Wales. Maybe people in regional areas feel that they are not getting the funding they need. You spoke earlier about people feeling like they aren't getting access to healthcare, these kinds of things that, you know, citysiders don't have to grapple with as much. So I guess maybe the issues are different and they're not getting the same representation in the city, so then the mavericks can't spring up as easily.
It's interesting, the definition of maverick, though. So we're talking with this, like, it's One Nation, it's Palmer, it is Catter. But there's also all these teal independents, right? So these people who are running in metro seats against Liberal candidates who are doing really well. And there's this, you're almost separating the two, because they're effectively the same thing. Like it's you don't trust the major political parties, but there's just two different approaches. There's this sort of loud, boisterous, populist approach, and then this sort of much more considered challenge. Like they're fighting different people in different battles, I think, and they're talking to different audiences as
well.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, like, are independents just mavericks in their own way? Like, is that really what it is? I mean, and there are other people as well that might not spring to mind when you hear the term maverick politician, but someone like Nick Xenophon, for instance, who, you know, was from a different, you know, area of politics. He started his own party, was really popular with that. Do you think that there's more localism and regionalism in Queensland, and that's also why we see, particularly from Queensland, more of these kinds of politicians? Like when you talk to people, Eden, for instance, are you seeing, do people get really attached to their to the region or the part of the state they're from?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we've had colleagues of mine doing seat profiles in places like Longman, for example, and there is a diversity of views, like we said just before, but also, yeah, I feel like people are bringing up issues that are affecting their lives that are unique to that region. I think that is kind of a Queensland specific issue to some extent.
Yeah. Let's go to a caller now. Geordie's called in. Geordie, you're in Queensland, right? What's your view on all of this?
Well, personally, I'm voting for Greens, but I think the reason why so many people, and I mean, they generally tend to be conservative, but why so many people go for these Mavericks is, I mean, for the lack of better words, they seem to breach that corporate veil or that, you know, real politician sort of status. And it just, when they actually seem to, when they promise that they're going to do this or that, and it might speak to a minority of voters, but when they say they're going to do something, they seem to have a sense of honesty about them and that they're actually going to try and fight for it. I mean, personally, I think they're all, you know, a stubby short of a six-pack, but I think the reason why that they appeal to all these people is because they don't have that classic politician sort of, characteristic about
them. Yeah, interesting, Geordie. And like you said, I'm not going to vote for them. I'm voting for the Greens. But are you drawn to these kinds of characters just in a entertaining way? Sorry, like we're speaking to some people and they, you know, will post a video or a picture and they'll be like, oh, I love him so much. Like they're not voters. They're not really supporting them in that way, but they really enjoy their character. Like, do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I really love like classic sort of like conservative Aussies, purely for comedic relief. I just think, like Bob Catter, I mean, he's as mad as a cut snake, and he's bloody fucking great.
Thought you were going to say something else then, Geordie.
No. I mean, he's nuts, and so is, you know, Pauline and Clive. But, I mean, when you do listen to them speak, it's really hard to not empathise and also actually agree with some of their points. I mean, it's a real shame because there's another bloke called Malcolm Roberts, and they're all fighting for rights, you know, and like someone else said, to sort of stay out of meddling in people's personal lives, but they always seem to like miss a really integral part of like what the population want, like i.e., you know, being less conservative around, you know, gay marriage or abortion or climate change. Like all these people, they all stay away from those things, and it's just like such a shame because they represent a lot of really good sort of points that a lot of Aussies can resonate with. But
Thanks for calling in, Geordie. No, I really appreciate your comments on that. And interesting point you make there about, you know, missing the mark sometimes and often, like, contradicting what they say and stuff. Like, I was talking to Bob Catter yesterday and he was saying, you know, the Greens, and he was calling them names and stuff. And then in the next breath he was saying, and I support Adam Bandt's economic policy and I'm all for it. So, and we often see this with other Maverick politicians as well. They kind of flip their opinions on things and maybe win a few votes over here, win a few over there. It's really interesting. But, guys, it's time to move on, I think.
Hack. This is about Australians getting into homes. Best way to support people who are renting a house is to help them buy a house.
On Triple J.
Just when you thought you'd come to peace with the world, you'd learned to love every blade of grass, an old man comes and blasts young people. And he says we should stop whining, stop partying, stop travelling. An 85-year-old man in Perth, actually, he told the West Australian newspaper the younger generation have it pretty good. We just need to learn to adjust to the economy instead of complaining about it. I don't know, what do you think? Does this old man have a point? Are we just a bunch of whingers? Call in 1300 055 536. Maybe I'm whinging now. I don't know. Message in 0439 757 555. Keen to get our panel's opinion on this one. Eden Gillespie from The Guardian, 4ZZZ Stephen Stockwell. Stocky, do young people just need to shut the F up?
I'm so mad about this.
Well, I was actually thinking this, Stocky, because what he's talking about is like young people need to chill out. Like, so, well, he didn't say chill out, but, you know, no travelling, partying, visiting the casino. Oh. I'm like, that's Stocky's weekend. What's he going
to
do?
Like, yeah, what's going on? Like, what does he expect me to do on the weekends? No, this, like, West Australians shouldn't have asked him to start with. So pull your head in. Like, this guy's so out of touch. Like, this guy, he's 85 years old. He bought a house in Perth. I did some research today. So let's just, like, spit some facts.
Oh, whoa. The mathematician comes out. Let's crunch the numbers. He's drawing, just for a visual, everyone, it's like a beautiful mind. He's drawing all over the walls. So.
It's more like Always Sunny in Philadelphia with Charlie and the map. So basically, he bought a house, let's say 50 years ago, $22,000 in Perth. So you look, the average wage back then, about $7,500. So he bought a house for like two and a bit times what his annual wage was, which is great. Now you're looking at something that is maybe, look, if you're lucky, 10 to maybe 15, 20 times. But also the idea that you were going to pay off an $800,000 house by not partying, did some more maths. If you're having a big weekend, let's say you're spending $600 every weekend.
$600? What are you doing?
52 weekends of a year. You have to spend that for 25 years before you can pay off your mortgage. Like, I've forgotten his name, but he needs to pull his head in.
His name's Ron.
But Ron, pull your head in.
Can we go back to the $600 weekend? How have you divided this up? Because is this your normal weekend for you?
Look, not
surprised you can afford to be here right now.
I caught the train. I didn't get an Uber. No, I'd say, look, if you got like $150, well, $250 on a Friday night, $250 on a Saturday night, $100 to sort of see you through a Sunday session.
Cool, right. So there's three solid days.
Yeah, three
Love
solid
it.
Days every weekend of the year for 25 years.
Eden, I don't know. What do you reckon?
It just kind of elicits a groan, to be honest. I didn't become as prepared as Stocky with the mathematical break.
Why not?
Oh, because I just felt the emotions of it. I just felt, gosh, it's just frustrating because I was just thinking, what, we've been in a pandemic for the past 3 years. I don't understand this, we can't afford a house because we've been traveling and partying. Like, who's been partying? I would have loved to have partied over the past 3 years, you know?
I know. It's a long, like, people emerging from the pandemic having never partied, really.
Yeah.
Like, people who, you know, turned 18 or whatever. We've got some messages coming through. Someone says, I'm 25 and own a house and a new ute. I think if you're struggling, you need to adapt. We often get this message. Whenever we talk about cost of living, there'll be some young people that message in. They say, I have 17 houses and I'm, maybe not that extreme. Some people say, I have a house or I have, you know, like a few assets or whatever. What do you reckon, Stocky? Like, do we need to just adjust our lifestyle a bit? Like, maybe not as extreme as every weekend, but tweaking it.
No. I really don't think, because even if you boil it down to, like, let's say you're spending a couple of $100 a weekend on, like, partying and maybe going somewhere. Like, just stopping, if you stop doing that, it's still going to take you forever to do it. Like, that's not the solution. The solution is, like, higher wages, basically, and lower house prices. That's where it comes back to. The thing with people who are talking about buying lots of houses, like having lots of houses, having lots of utes, I worry about that because realistically with the way prices are at the moment for this stuff, that's interest-only loans a lot of the time. And with interest rates going up, that's going to like kick real hard real soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And that's like a lot of people are saying that on the text line right now. Somebody says, I'm guessing this old man has several investment properties and a boat and sizable retirement fund. Somebody else says, you know, you guys are stirring up young people against old people. Such a bunch of boomer bashers. I think that might be Ron texting in, actually. And another person says, can you pass on to this old man? I'm not going to whinge ever again, not even when he gets sent to an underfunded old person's home. I won't whinge on his behalf for better conditions. That's a bit extreme, I think, but it's the sentiment there. Do you think, Eden, we need to have older people just stop complaining about younger people? Maybe that's the answer.
I think we need to stop seeking out people who are complaining about younger people. I've spoken to a lot of older people who are doing it super tough at the moment and, you know, people who understand the world that young people are entering into. I don't think that the majority of elderly people feel that young people are, you know, just messing it up for themselves and, you know, splurging on smashed avo. I don't think that's the case.
Well, you know, it's the media as well has a part to play in all of this. And, you know, Stocky was alluding to that earlier on. But guys, I got to say, that's all we've got time for. It goes so quickly, doesn't it? Hack, the shake-up edition, the election road trip wrapping up in Queensland. We're moving on now, but it's been so great being here in the Sunshine State. And a huge thanks to our shake-up guests, Queensland reporter at The Guardian Australian, Eden Gillespie, thank you so much. Did you enjoy your first shake-up?
I loved it.
Oh,
thank
beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. You'll be back. And also the big boss of Brisbane radio station, 4ZZZ, Stephen Stockwell. Stocky, so good to have you back on the airwaves and Triple J.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And a huge, big, big thanks to the hardworking Hack team. After another huge week, it has been a massive one. Executive producer Claire Bloomer, senior producer Serge Negus, and our reporters as well, Ange McCormack, Claudia Long, Edwina Story, Ellie Grounds, Joe Lauder, Maddie King, and AJ Williams. That's all for this week. I'll catch you next time.